Les bidons?
Hein? Banana?
Stuart? Macarino?
De banana!
They've been on this planet far longer than we have. They're all different, but they all share the same goal. To find the biggest, baddest villain to serve. Finding a master was easy.
La piñata!
That's where things got tricky. Nope, it wasn't easy for these guys. But nonetheless, they kept on looking.
There's two types of audience members that likes these movies. And you got one half that likes Gru and the little girls from the Despicable Me movies, obviously. And then you got the other half that like the Minions. We're going to find out in this review what side I was on. And I think if you remember my Despicable Me 2 review, you kind of know where I'm going. But I personally don't give a fuck about the Minions. I think the Minions were fine in the movies, but I thought that the little girls and Gru were the ones that really brought the heart to the film. If anything, Gru and the girls were probably not on the level of Pixar quality films, but they were the characters in there that kind of just upped it up from being just an average little animated film. And now we're here with Minions, where all that is gone. This is a prequel to tell the story of Stuart, Kevin, and Bob, which really don't make a difference what their names are because they never say their fucking names in the movie. So you got Minions, according to the narrator, like you hear in the trailer. They've been around even before human beings. And it always felt like a purpose to them that they had to serve someone that was just that evil. So over the time, we see them mistakenly killing people, well, villains, over and over again. And then next, you know it, I guess they isolate themselves in a cave after the last person they killed, which I'm going to get into that because I think it's hilarious. And then Stuart, I believe. Yeah, no, it's Kevin. Kevin, he's the tall one, obviously, with the two eyes, not the baby one. Baby one is Bob. The one with one eye is Stuart. And Kevin's like, no, I'm going to be the one to give us a new hope, give us a new villain, give us our Gru, if you will. So he travels with Stuart and Bob, and they're on their way to Villain Con, which they find out in New York. There's an actual con. And at first I was thinking, because I love it because they broadcast this on the news and stuff, so I was just like, huh, shouldn't the FBI or agents or any CIA should be all over that place? But obviously it's in a secret location. You can't even find it. Matter of fact, you travel to Orlando, and then all of a sudden this thing sucks you up and it takes you to this convention center, which look a little bit like Comic-Con, which I ain't gonna lie, this Villain Con look like it'd be cool as shit. They get picked up, hitchhike ride with this family. Well, I gotta say, the voice work in here was pretty damn impressive. I did not know that was Michael Keaton playing the dad. He played Walter Nelson. You got Allison Janney, who played Maggie Nelson. I kind of knew who that was. I'm not sure who the kids were who were playing their kids they had. They had a girl that was over obsessed with them. They do a really funny bit, but I'll get into that later. So they earn the right, I guess, to work for Scarlet Overkill, voiced by Sandra Bullock here. It was kind of a fluke when how they got that, too. And their mission is to receive the crown of the Queen of England. Everything goes wrong. Next thing you know it, Bob becomes King of England somehow because he pulled the sword from the stone. Scarlet Overkill's not having that. And then they coronate her as the queen. And she's going to torture these three minions. Next thing you know it, it's an all-out showdown to where they're trying to convince Scarlet, hey, we still love you and stuff. And she's like, no, I'm not having it. Kill them. Every evil person ever, kill them. And then it comes out to an all-out battle between super-sized Kevin and Scarlet Overkill. Okay. I have to say, this movie, I'm going to say, this is the worst out of the three. It's not terribly bad to the point where it's like, oh, I just can't watch it. I ain't going to lie, I'm not going to watch it again. I got better things to fucking do. I could be drinking my ass to death or something. But it is boring as shit. It is boring. I mean, talk about talent wasted in this film. This is the thing I've been talking about with these last two Despicable Me movies, which I think they're fine, but they never seem to really want to push the balance of, you know, we could be something greater. And then this is what I feared with this Minions movie. I was like, because everybody knows that the kids found the Minions in the movies, even some of the adults they found. I was like, oh, you know, they're laugh, they're funny, so let's give them their own movie. And I'm just like, I don't know, that's a good thing or whatever. These things, in my opinion, Minions are good in small doses. They don't have enough weight in their bodies to carry a whole film. And this movie just proved it. I will say, the beginning half of the movie, where they're going through villain, which is pretty much the whole trailer, that is the funniest shit in the movie, and that is the first 5 minutes of the film. Matter of fact, not even the first 5 minutes, because it's a montage. It was the first 2 minutes of the film, because they took some of them out. I know there was one, I don't know who it was, but he slipped and fell, and a sword fell, and that wasn't even in the trailer. I mean, that wasn't even in the movie, so they took a lot of the deaths out. But that was hilarious. Even when they first popped up, I thought it was funny as hell, because the narrator was like, I think his name was Dave. He's the guy that put the starfish on his titties or whatever shit. He's like, he's kind of a dumbass, pretty much. And I laughed at that. The deaths were scenes were cool, how they were killing people. They had to stop at Napoleon, though, because for simple facts that we all know what comes after Napoleon. Mr. Snoozer himself, or whatever. Mr. Adolf Hitler, which, I'm not gonna lie, I think they should have pushed that boundary and just went ahead and put him in there, because I think that would have been funny as hell. No offense, Jew community and Cody, but I think it would have been funny as hell if they would have did that. But once they kill Napoleon, that's the reason why they go to they isolate themselves, because the Napoleon's leaders or followers, they're like, nah, man, you just killed our fucking leader. We're going to have to hunt you guys down. So they find this cave, hide. And yeah, I was cool to this point. Then the cave went on a little longer, and then I was like, okay, it's starting to teen up. But it's going to get better. Once Sandra Bullock comes in, I know it's going to get better. So then we get to New York. This whole little adventure, it was cool, it was alright, and then it just slowly started getting boring and more boring. And matter of fact, this is where all the laughs just start, and it just went straight for visual gags that wasn't even funny. I mean, you got some, like in the trailer, you see Stewart making out with the fire hydrants. I don't even know why that. I guess because kids. The thing is, too, I went to a public screener. When I saw this, a lot of people, and they sat me in, usually the critic side, they sit on the top, and they sit I sat down closer to the audience, and I was thinking in my head, all these fucking kids down here, they're gonna lose their shit. And these kids were tame as fuck. I don't think they even found this funny, because these kids wasn't making any noises, it wasn't even moving. If anything, there was more, and even me, I kind of dozed off a little bit somewhere in there, man, but I just found myself bored out of my mind. And then when Sandra Bullock comes into the film, I'm thinking that, oh, finally, they're going to get something here. Scarlet Overkill, because, you know, they set her up so cool in that trailer. I love when the soundtrack kicks in, which, by the way, this movie has an awesome soundtrack to it. A lot of the hits here. I mean, I think this movie takes place in 1968, too, 40 years before Gru, if I'm not mistaken. And they got that soundtrack playing in the trailer. And then you see Scarlet Overkill. It's so good to be evil. And then they like do like a metal cutout of her standing there, and they say voiced by Santa. All that shit looked cool of her, but when she comes in, She does absolutely nothing. That first bitch you see where when they're at VillainCon, that's the most she does in the whole film until it gets to the ending. Where it gets to the ending, she just became a stereotypical villain. Just like, oh, I'm just going to kill you. I mean, I thought it was much more depth and character to her, but there's really nothing to her. If anything, the funniest to her was her husband, Herb Overkill, who's voiced by John Hamm, which, by the way, I did not know that was John. I think Sandra Bullock was the only one whose voice I could really tell. But John Hamm, that guy was awesome. What was awesome about him is that he's playing like this 60/70s style up to a T, man. He is just living it up. I'm shocked that they, people, if you know, AMC has one of my favorite shows, Mad Men. I'm shocked that they it was a perfect opportunity to make a Mad Men joke with him, but hey, I guess a missed opportunity there. But John Hamm was just great. He was, I thought he was the best, well, not one, but you know what? He was one of the best. Because I thought the second best, not second best, but another person that was one of the best was, Michael Keaton, man. Michael Keaton was awesome in this movie. He plays Walter Nelson. He doesn't have a big role in the film, that road trip, but I love when he picks up the minions and they pull up into a, what you think is a gas station. He's like, okay, everyone, time to stretch our legs or everything. And then they put these, the whole family put these masks on. And these thermal masks on, and then they just, you see the sign that says bank, and they go in there and rob this bank. That shit was hilarious. I'm not gonna lie. That probably was the funniest whole bit out of the whole movie, other than them killing all the villains they worked for, like Dracula and stuff like that. But, matter of fact, Jeffrey Rush doing the narration too. That almost caught me off guard too, but you could probably tell it's Jeffrey Rush. He did a great job as well. And then, you know, we ended with, this whole all-out battle where they pretty much become good guys and minions, if you will, but still looking for that bad guy. And then, you know, Sandra Bullock, somehow her and John Hamm, they live through this explosion and they try to steal the queen's crown again. But who comes in? We get little Groot, young Groot. He comes in and the minions are just blown away by him. So they chase him in. They do something through the credits where Groot takes them all or whatever I think I see where this Minions sequel is going to, and then they even introduced a time machine very briefly in this film when they went to VillainCon, but for some reason I have a feeling that time machine is going to come back, because I saw the schedule of Minions movie coming out, and I don't know if that's real, but they got movies lined up all the way to 2019 and some shit like that, but I think I can see where Despicable Me 3 may go, if old Groot may have to run into young Groot or some shit like that, and I'm sorry, but I didn't have that much of a good time watching the movie. I really did, too. You know, especially coming out of Inside Out, seeing something so fun, pushing the boundaries and stepping up animation one more. I thought this was just dumbed down, boring, and just for kids. As a matter of fact, I don't even know if it's just for kids, because most of the kids in there wasn't that having a good time. I didn't see a screener for Despicable Me 2. I saw that with a general audience. I remember I took my sister. I remember the whole audience was just laughing all the way through. I remember I even laughed more so in that one as well. I thought the minions were funny as hell in here. But in here, they're just dry and bland. They're not given enough here to do, at least for an adult manner or whatever. And seeing too much of them, it takes away that glimpse magic that they had in the first two films, where they just did some comedy hijinks off screen in the background somewhere. Meanwhile, while Groot's trying to be all serious and stuff. And I thought that was just missing from this film. It has no real heart or personally, it really doesn't have a story, to be honest. I mean, it's just, hey, how do we get to where we are now? And I don't know. I thought this was pretty fucking boring. So, yeah, man, this is just going to get a regular streaming for me. I was expecting probably on the same level what I gave Despicable Me 2. I was going to expect like a high rent it. But a part of me kind of knew that this was going to happen, and I really don't want to see another fucking Minions movie. I think they just need to stop right now. Probably not, because I'm almost guaranteed this movie is going to make somewhere close to $1 billion. I'd be shocked if it doesn't. If not, 800, 900 million, somewhere around there. So they're going to keep hashing these fucking Minion movies out, these Despicable Me movies out. And Universal, man, you just... I don't know, something about other... If it ain't Pixar or Disney, it just seems that... I'll even say sometimes DreamWorks, because How to Train Dragon was pretty well, and I even say Rise of the Guardians and stuff. But sometimes even DreamWorks, a lot of these other animated studios, they seem to not really give a fuck about pushing back. And I saw another trailer for another Universal, I guess I don't know if it's Universal, but it's the same studio that made Despicable Me and Minions. Something about some pets, when their owners leave the house, the chaos they cause or whatever shit. That shit looked childish as fuck. I swear, I was like, wow, you just don't give a fuck, man. Y'all just, I know these are for kids, I understand that, but, you know, I don't think that animation literally has to be straight for kids. I mean, like I said, Disney and Pixar continues to push the boundaries of making it not only enjoyable for kids, but also something your whole family and adults can enjoy and not have to sit there and go like, wow, this is just something I turn on for my kids and I'm just in the background not giving a fuck. But, yeah, just giving the streaming for me, Minions, they didn't leave an impact on me at all. Matter of fact, I'm not gonna lie, I'm gonna forget this movie by end of next week, so stream it.
Ladies and gentlemen, Scarlett Overton!
Have any of you ever dreamt of working for the greatest supervillain of all time?
I love you, Scarlett!
I'm gonna be the villain!
These are the new recruits.
Scarlett, you're not the captain.
No, no, don't say anything. I won't understand.
I'm a villain, I win a woman, that's in the winner.
Do you know who this is?
La Cucaracha?
This is Queen Elizabeth. Huh? And I really, really, really want her crown.
You came for the Queen's crown, did you? Well, you're gonna have to get through me.
Scarlet,
I'm gonna be the villain again.
I don't want you to take this the wrong way, but I hate you.
This is torture.